Well, normally on a Tuesday, we have Tuesday Book Club. And look, bear with me, because we're still having Tuesday Book Club with Andrew Popel. We're just not quite talking about books. We're talking about booked adjunct material. Andrew Popel, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. Book adjunct makes it sound like we've got the action figures in.
Hey, I would actually love some Handmaid's Tale action figures, because that is what we are talking about, the adaptation.
Yeah, like last week we talked about Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, absolutely fantastic dystopian novel, and there has been an adaptation. It's running currently, it's streaming currently on SBS On Demand, and this show has garnered huge buzz in the lead up, and it continues to be hotly discussed, at least on my socials.
Mine as well, very much so.
So people are really excited about it. Look, much of this has to do, I think, with the way the story looks at the exercise of conservative power and the broad parallels that people see with our current political climate. But let's not sell the production short, because it's a good-looking show and it's worth a watch on its own merits. And that's what I thought I'd discuss, where we have that intersection and what really grabs you. Full disclosure, I have not finished watching the series. I tend to be a bit of a slow burn viewer. I've never learnt to binge watch.
Good on you. You must be the only person in the world who hasn't picked that skill up yet. Do I call it a skill or do I call it a problem? I can't tell anymore.
For me, I think it'd be all the books on the nightstand. But look, there still will be some soft spoilers here for those people who have not read the book.
Okay. Be warned. Here lieth spoilers.
Think thematically rather than scene-wise.
Okay.
So the adaptation is broadly faithful to the setup and themes of Atwood's original. Offred is a handmaid, a woman designated by her fertility to bear children in a strange conservative dystopia where women are subjugated within oppressive gender roles. And within the house of her commander, so the affluent have commanders, she becomes this sort of focal point for the intrigues and angst between the commander's wife, and their driver, Nick. So, I mean, people who've read the book will find all that very familiar. Like the book, we have a narrative that's presented in a fairly linear way, juxtaposed with flashbacks to Offred's life before the changes. The producers of The Handmaid's Tale have liberally reworked the chronology from the book, though, and we have several key scenes from the book's climax moved forward very early on in the piece. This changes the pace completely, and the early episodes are fairly action-packed compared to what I found to be the slow burn of the novel. Look, it makes sense from a visual storytelling point of view, but it also changes the overall feel, and I felt like it took the story in new directions. And it's in these instances where the show deviates from the book that we find ourselves drawn into, I think, a new world. So we've got Gilead from the city from the book becomes almost a new city. And the creators begin to craft what I think is perhaps even a more frightening tale. So the rise of the oppressive state, we're in this dystopian world, the rise of the oppressive state-controlled power structure, it's evoked through these flashbacks that Offred has to her former life. This former life looks very much like 2000 teens rather than the 80s, which I think we maybe got more of a sense because that was when the book was written.
Yeah.
In language and look, however, I felt particularly the rise of power borrowed really heavily from Reddit, conservative comments pages and right-wing protests. I think the visuals of men all dressed in black, faces covered. There's a particularly harrowing scene. You might remember, Nick, where Offred discovers that effectively her online life or her financial life has been shut down.
Yes, I do remember that.
They play that pretty faithfully. It's in a cafe now instead of a convenience store, so very 2017. And it's not just simply a surly attendant. There's some really kind of sexist, judgmental epithets thrown at Offred and Moira, which, you know, again, I come back to, you know, the deep, dark parts of Reddit and conservative comments pages here. There is not this sense of a slow creep of power and control that I got from the book. Rather, it looks like the rise of a militia and the imposition like of a martial law. And both of these are real prospects under American law.
Mm.
They have the power to raise a militia, and it'll happen like that. The shadowy resistance are also a very different force in the series. Within the book, I read the resistance as almost a chimera, born of the character's need. It's a marvelous tension, and much of our reading and hope hang on whether the resistance exists.
Yes.
Within the show, though, it seems little doubt that there is a resistance and that they will become part of the narrative. So they are quite possibly going to be a very real force, not a background force that is part of that sense of hope. Another obvious place that the show had room to work was in the soundtrack. The music is a complete surprise, and I think this is a feature that's really going to polarise people. I quite liked it. But it's very hard to be indifferent to a musical theme. Every note is designed to elicit a response. And as viewers, we either subsume ourselves in it or find it jarring. Basically, music is trying to tell you how to feel.
Absolutely. Mm. It's an integral part of the way we watch anything.
Every episode ends with a cliffhanger. And one, the credits scene, had this really almost punk kind of resistance type of music that was obviously meant to make me go, yeah, Alfred, you're gonna something awesome is gonna happen. You're gonna fight back, and that sort of emotional tell may not work with some. I think really, deep readers of the book, they might not like being told that. And so, in this adaptation of The Handmaid's Tale, we have a visceral evocation of the tale that wants you to feel as much as it wants to make you think. Make no mistake here, the producers want you to see our world in Gilead. They also want us to hope. And for that hope to be unambiguous. And so we come to the ending. I haven't watched it yet. And it presents this really interesting conundrum, particularly if there's going to be a series two. I'm just going to hang that there because whatever happens, I'm going to be tuning in.
And so will I. Look, I've been meaning to catch up on this for a while. It's been very, very bad of me not to get involved with it. I didn't want to watch it as it was coming out. I wanted to watch it all binge and then just sort of lost track of it. But, I mean, between this and I think, American Gods, which we did a very similar show on, I love the fact that we are doing smart adaptations of novels. And I've always said that books lend themselves towards TV series far more than they ever had towards film.
I could not agree more. But Neil Gaiman was really clear about how excited he was of the expansion of his world. And I've read a few articles where Margaret Atwood's talked about diversity in the casting of Handmaid's Tale, but I haven't heard her talk about the way the story has maybe been reworked and also the possibility that it's going to be expanded. Again, we're throwing these sort of teasy spoilers out there for people, but Nick, how do you feel about the idea that there could be a series too, that we could launch off from the ending of the novel?
Look, I'm quite comfortable with it. I'm hoping they'd have the right team on board with it. Now, provided it's following Margaret Atwood's vision, and it was a hell of a vision when she wrote it, I'm on board.
Yeah, the only thing that I have a problem with is the ending is beautifully ambiguous, and I love these moments. Another book, in fact, the book that I'm going to tell you about for our next series, I'll tell you about that in a sec, gives you this ambiguous ending, and I feel like it's very much the reader that makes that ending. And I feel that's the way it is with The Handmaid's Tale.
Of course, sometimes you get it the other way, where we've got, say, Game of Thrones, where the only reason the ending's ambiguous is because George hasn't written the damn books yet. Oh. And I think he's going to end up just writing the novelization of the TV series if we're not careful.
It might be better.
It might be better as well. But let's talk about next week. What do we want to chat?
I have read recently an absolutely fantastic Australian novel, Australian Noir.
Ooh.
But in a way that you would not expect. This is like sunburnt noir. It's called The Student. It's by Ian Ryan. I had an absolutely fantastic conversation with Ian recently, and I'm really excited to bring you this book. It's like, think Queensland Tarantino, like Reservoir Dogs on a university campus.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
It is.
All right. The Student,
Ian Ryan.
We'll do that next week. But in the meantime, if people want to get more stories about the written word, what do they do?
Saturday morning, 10 a.m., you tune in for Final Draft. There's new books every week. We've got the Australian Classics Book Club coming up at the end of the month.
Yes.
So much great stuff to discover.
And catch up on the old ones.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 2SER.com.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
My pleasure, Nick. See you next week.